oh boy, this is really different. First of all, this is instrumental music. This is symphonic music. It's not opera or comic opera. What is the purpose of this piece? Well, I don't know. It's to express something, I guess. And what is that expressive substance, that expressive purpose? Well, I'm not sure about that either. I mean, it's loud, it's nasty, it'll peel the chrome off your Chevy, no doubt about that. But it doesn't have a specific meaning because there are no words to tell us what the specific meaning might be. Whatever the meaning is, it's an abstract, metaphorical meaning, but it's not an absolute literary one. Yes, two very different pieces, two contemporary pieces, two very different emotional and expressive purposes. Please, before we draw our conclusions, I would like some contemporaries of Beethoven and Rossini to draw some conclusions about these pieces for us. Let us let, then, Hector Berlioz and E.T.A. Hoffmann, two wild and crazy romantic contemporaries of the 1830s, render their opinions of these compositions. First, Hector Berlioz writes the following, about 1835, apropos of Rossini and early 19th century opera in general. And now I quote Berlioz. Music for the Italians is a sensual pleasure and nothing more. For this noble expression of the mind, they have hardly more respect than for cooking. They want a score that, like a plate of macaroni, can be assimilated immediately without their having to think about it or even pay attention to it. Unquote. Whoa, rough trade, Mr. Berlioz. Hector clearly objects to the Italian proclivity for glitzy, entertaining music and musical consumerism, which lies at the heart of 19th century Italian opera. All right, let's compare that response to E.T.A. Hoffmann, who wrote about 1830 the following about the opening of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5. And now I quote E.T.A. Hoffmann. What instrumental work of Beethoven testifies to his art and genius to a higher degree than the immeasurably noble and profound Symphony in C minor? How this marvelous composition carries the hearer irresistibly with it in its ever-mounting climax into the spirit kingdom of the infinite. What could be simpler than the main motive of the first movement, composed of a mere rhythmic figure which, beginning in unison, does not even indicate the key to the listener? The character of anxious, restless longing which this portion carries with it only brings out more clearly the melodiousness of the second theme. It appears as if the breast, burdened and oppressed by the premonition of tragedy, of threatening annihilation, in gasping tones was struggling with all its strength for air. But soon a friendly form draws near and lightens the gruesome night. Unquote. This goes on, by the way, for about five or six pages, but I think we've tasted enough. Berlioz, by the way, would be in complete agreement with Mr. Hoffmann on this commentary. Now, whatever E.T.A. Hoffmann is talking about, and it is rather highfalutin in its language, whatever he's talking serious, profound stuff. He's certainly not talking macaroni. Back to the Rossini. It was vocal music and reflective of the Italian view of music as entertainment. The Beethoven was symphonic music and reflective of the German view of music as metaphor, as heightened expression, as metaphysical, allegorical, transcendent expression. These two pieces are music of incredibly different compositional content and incredibly different artistic intent.